One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
That doesn't mean I don't have very strong views about what's happening in Gaza, because you know that I do. So where is my lie in all this?
Yeah, Piers, I've just listened to you for 20 minutes frame the issue in a purely 100% Israeli propaganda way. So if you say, hey, listen, the Jewish students shouldn't be harassed or attacked, of course I agree. I've got
Jewish
family.
Do you agree with me? So why have I lied?
Yeah, no. Stop interrupting.
The protesters wreaking havoc at some of America's top universities have a deadly serious point. Unfortunately, many of them are fundamentally unserious people. Nothing captured the insanity of this moment better than a PhD candidate at Columbia University stepping out to demand humanitarian aid for the protesters.
I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for.
It seems like you're sort of saying, we want to be revolutionaries, we want to take up this building, now would you please bring us food?
With a completely straight face, she demands urgent assistance for protesters to spare them from dehydration, starvation, and severe illness, as she and her mob friends voluntarily occupied a private building in support of Gazan people actually facing dehydration, starvation and severe illness. Well, students protesting for peace is nothing new. They have every right to do it, but clearly there are limits under the law. And at this point, they're doing a better job of Israeli propaganda than Israel's government. Police have moved in to eject students from Columbia's Hamilton Hall after reports they vandalised and barricaded the famous building. As the university said, this was because of the protesters' actions, not because of their cause. Officers clashed with students at other campuses overnight, including UCLA in Los Angeles, where pro-Israel protesters moved on their rivals and police patients ran out. It's all beginning to have unpleasant shades of the BLM riots in 2020, a fundamentally just cause which became toxic and divisive, fueled by people who know little about the issues, a lot about causing chaos. And quite apart from the absurdity of the individuals involved, it raises serious questions and contradictions. Many of former President Trump's fiercest critics shuddered at his belated crackdown on most 2020 protests. How do St. Joe Biden's supporters defend the scenes we're witnessing now? And on the other hand, many of the staunchest defenders of free speech have been the loudest supporters of Israel and the fiercest critics of the campus protesters. So where is the line? And is it the police or the protesters who've crossed it? Well, in a moment, we'll debate all this with an all-star panel. But first, joining me now is pro-Palestinian activist Nadine Kizwani, who organised protests outside Columbia and City University in New York last night. OK, Nadine, welcome back to Uncensored. You were there last night. There's a current ban on you and others from Columbia, dated from last week, saying that you are considered persona non grata on all Columbia University-owned property due to alarming and concerning behaviour. So why were you back there?
I wasn't inside the gates of Columbia. I was outside of Columbia. And, you know, I'm able to be able to protest outside of Columbia in support of the students as a New Yorker, just like New Yorkers have been consistently showing outside of the gates of Columbia in support of the students, even before they launched the Gaza Solidarity encampment. My organization, Within Our Lifetime, mobilized in support of Columbia students from Jewish Voice for Peace and from Students for Justice in Palestine, who were both suspended months ago. And, you know, we're just continuing that tradition, that support from the community to the students. So we had a protest that started at NYU, went to the New School, made a stop at FIT, the Fashion Institute of Technology. We made our way over to Columbia by train, and then ended at CUNY. So just showing solidarity to all of the encampments.
But it's not quite as straightforward as just showing solidarity. Mobs inside and outside the campus have been chanting Intifada. And anyone who knows the history of the conflict between Palestine and Israel knows what Intifada means. It means a violent uprising. They've been chanting from the river to the sea, which, of course, involves the eradication of Israel. We've seen Jewish students being harassed by the mob. We've seen Jewish professors not being allowed in to teach because of fears for their safety. We've seen others being held in effective captivity following the breaking in, the violent breaking in of an historic building. All of this, a lot of it is criminal, from trespass to vandalism to actually potentially kidnapping people if you're not letting them out when you break in.
No kidnappings have happened.
Well, hang on. I'm just saying potentially it could be categorised as that. So my question for you is, why would you support all this? Why do you support chanting about a violent uprising? Why are Jewish students being harassed in this manner? Why would you support the wanton vandalism involved in smashing into an historic building?
So I'm going to try to answer this in the order of everything you said. First of all, Intifada means shaking off in Arabic or uprising. It's not just used in the Palestinian context, but against people fighting against oppression everywhere. And the City University of New York, where I was a student in undergrad and for law school, actually investigated SJP for the use of the word Intifada in previous years. They released a report in 2016 that is public right now. You can find it online that clarifies that Intifada is not an anti-Semitic slur.
There have been two Intifadas. Hang on. There have been two Intifadas, the first and second Intifada in the conflict. In the last 30 years, have been these two infamous intifadas, which led to the deaths of many, many people on both sides. Both were violent uprisings. So when people when a pro-Palestinian group
started as boycotts. Are you going to let me respond?
Yeah, I'm going to clarify.
A lot of accusations.
Well,
and I'm going to try to respond to all of them in order.
Okay. Well, are you
not going back and forth?
Are you
going to
try
point?
And deny that either intifada was violent?
I believe that the Israeli colonizers, the Zionists, made it violent by attacking peaceful protests, just like we saw the NYPD attack protesters at CUNY and at Columbia that made the situation that wasn't previously violent, violent.
And all the acts of terrorism perpetrated by pro-Palestinians against Israelis during the two intifadas, what do you think of those?
I'm not here to debate the first and the second intifada with you. I've told you the definition of the word. You can leave it at that.
But that is why when people, when
pro-Palestinian, yeah,
but Nadine,
you brought on.
You're being disingenuous. When people, when pro-Palestinian groups outside of New York University chant about intifada, they know what they're doing, and Jewish people know what they're doing. They are invoking the first and second intifada,
which involved
a lot of violence and a lot of terrorism.
Has been chanting intifada for decades. Mm. So, you know, this, and let's go back, let's go to the second phrase you say, from the river to the sea.
Yeah.
Now they want to make a problem with that. Any chant that we say, you know, there's this accusation of anti-Semitism because every single pro-Palestinian activist has been accused of anti-Semitism as a way to silence them. Even though just, you know, you mentioned Jewish students before, so many of these Jewish students are standing with us, are with the protests inside and outside.
Yeah, and many are
they
not,
are
and many are being
like
harassed.
Like I said, Jewish Voice for Peace was suspended
many Jewish
by Columbia.
Many Jewish students are not, and they're being harassed. And we're seeing the videos of them being harassed. They're being threatened. They're being banned from going in.
And many Palestinian,
banned
Arab
from
and
going
Muslim
in to be taught
have been harassed
in their,
nonstop
they've been
ba- since
well, fine,
October
but,
7.
But you're not in Gaza doing this. You're doing it in the middle of New York.
What does this have to do with being in Gaza? We're here as New Yorkers, as Arabs, Muslims, and Palestinians, and we're harassed daily, constantly, not just since October 7th, but for as long as we have lived here. And, you know, that's constantly ignored. But when Palestinian students are finally speaking up against the slaughter of their people in Gaza and all over Palestine, you know, it becomes a problem. Now they want to, you know, pay attention to these things. You know, I think every Palestinian organization, including my own, has made it clear that we stand against anti-Semitism and that these smears of anti-Semitism against pro-Palestinian activists are a long-held tradition by the Zionist lobby, by Zionist organizations, as an attempt to discredit people.
If protesters get violent, is that acceptable resistance to the oppression?
I haven't seen any violence happening at protests, so I don't even know why this is a question. Nobody is advocating for violent protests, and nobody's saying would he be that's justified? Acceptable, including myself.
Would it be justified?
I just answered that. You're just repeating the same question. I feel like you're being disingenuous.
Well, you didn't answer
when I've already made this
You didn't
clear.
Answer if it would be justified.
I just said it's not acceptable. How could it be justified?
Right. So there, okay.
The only violence that we see being unleashed, which is completely unacceptable, is by the NYPD, who have maced protesters. They maced people at NYU, which I saw with my own
eyes.
Well,
they actually went and threw out...
Last night, they whipped out their batons. They beat people until they bled. People got punched in the face. They were bleeding from their teeth. Mm. You know, this is the violence that's completely
That's because a howling, violent mob chanting intifada broke into an historic building on a private property. It's not their property. They committed acts of vandalism. They committed acts of trespass. They were holding people against their will. They've been threatening and harassing Jewish students. I'm sorry, that's not a peaceful protest. Right? These
people
are not
being
protesting
held against
peacefully.
Their will were Columbia students forced to stay inside the journalism school. You know, the NYPD literally poked their head in an open door and told the CUNY journalism students that if they left that building, they would be arrested. Columbia admin came to say that they should have the right to report, that they can't limit the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press. And the NYPD actually threatened Columbia administration. So the only people who were being held against their will were the Columbia students by the NYPD. And other students who were not part of the journalism school, part of the other schools or in their dorms, were also ordered to shelter in place by the Columbia administration. So everything you brought up, from the violence to people being held against their will, this is being perpetuated by the people in positions of power, by the administrations of these universities, and by the police department, who is being used to crush peaceful protests, who is being used to show up in riot gear and turn an otherwise peaceful situation into a riot. Never forget that in 1968, 150 protesters occupied the same exact hall that the students of Columbia were occupying as of last night and forced to come out of, Hamilton Hall, which they renamed Hinz Hall in honor of the 5-year-old Palestinian girl who was killed, who had to sit in a car with her family member for hours, while they decayed, while they rotted after being killed by the Israeli army. And she starved to death. Nobody was able to get to her. In 1968, Hamilton Hall was occupied by over 150 students protesting South African apartheid. And this kind of police violence wasn't used against them. And they are remembered in history as heroes. So continuing the long-held tradition of university activism, this is what they were doing
You've
at
made
Columbia.
Your point.
This is what we were doing at CUNY and all the encampments that we see just in the U.S., but all seven continents.
Nadine, I have to move on because I have four other guests, but I appreciate you joining me. Thank you very much. Well, joining me now is the independent presidential candidate Cornel West, who teaches at Columbia and joins some of the student protests, the Fox News contributor Kat Timm, former BLM supporter Javier DeRusso of PragerU, who broke into a pro-Palestinian encampment at UCLA, and the Young Turks founder, Cenk Uygar. Kat, I want to start with you, because I know you've got a slight time constraint. So I want to start with you and just talk about one aspect of this, which is the whole issue of free speech in this debate. And we're going to get into the two sides part of it in a moment with the other guests. But from a free speech perspective, what is your take on what we're seeing here?
So I've been very open about this issue. I think there's been not quite enough focus on the free speech issue. I think that, for example, you could look at Texas Governor Abbott, who in 2019 was saying there has to be free speech on campuses. There has to be the First Amendment on campuses. Then on March 27th, he signed something that limits speech on campus, including constitutionally protected speech, including criticism of Israel's government. I think that what the Constitution says is very, very clear that even hate speech is free speech, right? So you can debate whether something is or is not hate speech. And the debate you just had with your last guest proves that there is some disagreement on that. And the main point is the government should not be the one deciding what is and is not. We have a spokesperson for the Indiana Police Department saying hate speech isn't free speech. Well, that just simply isn't true. And it's the whole idea of what it's always been, which is that you don't want the government to be in the position of deciding what speech is and is not allowed, because that is going to be dangerous for anyone, including Jewish students, right? I mean, there was no free speech, obviously, in Hitler's Germany, right? And saying that free speech, something is First Amendment protected free speech, is not that you don't have to say you agree with it. And you can totally bring up the fact that maybe it's been less consistent in terms of all of a sudden now a lot of these university presidents are super pro free speech when it comes to this when they haven't been in the past. But to me, that's not going to cause me to be hypocritical on this issue. I'm a First Amendment absolutist. I was in 2019. I was before 2019, and I still am today.
What if you are chanting Intifada, given the history of Intifadas between Israel and Palestine, twice in the last 30 years? We know what Intifadas have been there. They've been violent uprisings with many people dying. And what if you chant from the river to the sea, which Jewish people believe absolutely means the eradication of Israel? I'm just asking
the Kat First Amendment.
I will come to everybody else, but Kat has to go. So I want to just get this free speech part of the debate out of the way. Kat.
The First Amendment is actually clear on that, where it's you have to have a very, very, very specific exception where that would not be allowed. So, for example, a peaceful protest where people are marching and saying from the river to the sea is constitutionally protected speech. An incident where you were targeting a specific Jewish student and chanting that at that student where a protest had become violent, then that maybe would not be. But it's very, very narrow, and it's supposed to be very, very narrow, where there has to be it has to be directed and likely to produce imminent action and also true threats. Those are the only exceptions, which are very, very narrow. And the law is clear on this.
But if you have people, and we've seen pictures of them inside and outside campus, who appear to be supporting Hamas rhetoric, who are wearing maybe insignia relating to Hamas or Hezbollah or whatever, if you're brazenly supporting organisations, groups of people that are deemed to be terrorists by large swathes of the world, does that cross the line?
This is utter nonsense, Piers. Can I just answer the question?
Okay,
Piers,
yep.
You got genocide taking place. You got IDF terrorism taking place. You can't say a mumbling word about 12 universities that have been leveled to the ground. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of professors have been killed. Students have been killed. You're a journalist.
Yes.
Have you talked about the 112 journalists who have been killed, brother?
Yes, I have done.
You just said lies.
Well, Cornell, Cornell. Cornell,
unfairly.
Cornell,
then you just start lying. You start lying, man. It's ridiculous.
Cornell,
man.
I'm not it's lying about anything.
I agree with Cornell West completely. You're totally, utterly lying through your framing. The framing of this is a total lie.
Look, I can't hear you both speak at the same time. Cornell, just to be clear, I have posted. I have posted about the journalists who've died in Gaza, right? I have posted about this. I have highlighted the deaths of those journalists, right?
Put it in the framework.
Well, I'm going to. I was going to come to you about the framework.
No, you're not.
All the vandalism about one hall, and you hardly can say a mumbling word about universities, libraries gone completely, schoolrooms gone completely. You see how truncated and narrow your framework is? You're just lying, man. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Okay. When you say lying, what you're trying to imply that I don't care about the other stuff you've just mentioned.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
But that's not a lie.
That's definitely right.
Well, yes. Not have the same value as an Israeli life. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, let me bring in Cenk. Let me bring in Cenk here.
Let me bring in Cenk.
Just to be clear, I haven't lied about anything. Right? I haven't talked about what's happened in Gaza yet because we haven't come to that part of the debate. But, Cenk, I don't believe you've always seemed to me to be one of the more rational voices in this debate, prepared to accept what Hamas did was horrendous and so on. I don't believe that you think it's right that Jewish students should be intimidated and harassed on a
campus. You come right back to the thing.
Can I just answer this for God's
sake? We are debating the protests,
okay? Come on, brother. Come on, man.
I don't think it's right. They should be subjected to intimidation.
Okay, Piers.
Nobody thinks that's right. It's not
Cornell,
right.
Let Cenk speak, and I'll come back to you.
A girl has a hall named after her because she and 15,000 other children have been killed by the IDF terrorists that you don't even call terrorists, but you can call the students terrorists. That's not a double standards, man. That's just outright mendacity, hiding criminality on your show, and you're supposed to be uncensored, concerned about the truth.
Well, you just said I called them terrorists.
Please,
I haven't called.
Brother.
I haven't called them terrorists. That, ironically, is a lie. Cenk, I want to bring you in. You're getting very angry about this too. Just to be clear, I am expressing an opinion that what has happened at Columbia has crossed a line. And that if I'm a Jewish student there, I think it's completely outrageous. I'm being intimidated and harassed for the actions of Israel's government thousands of miles away. That doesn't mean I don't have very strong views about what's happening in Gaza, because you know that I do. So where is my lie in all this?
Yeah, Piers, I've just listened to you for 20 minutes frame the issue in a purely 100% Israeli propaganda way. So if you say, hey, listen, Jewish students shouldn't be harassed or attacked, of course I agree. I've got
Jewish
family.
Do you agree with me? So why have I lied?
Yeah, no. Stop interrupting. But what you don't talk about is you say from the river to the sea is an unacceptable chant. Did you mention to the audience in these last 20 minutes that Benjamin Netanyahu actually said it recently? Not only that, he's actually doing it. He's in the middle of wiping out the Palestinians from the river to the sea. That is the grotesque violence. He has slaughtered 25,000 women and children. They were all innocent. So when Hamas kills 860 innocent Israeli civilians, I call them out and I say that is terrible. But when Israel slaughters 25,000 women and children, we're saying, oh, I don't like a pro-Palestinian chant. A chant? That's what we're concerned about. And now you turn to the violence that has happened on college campuses. There is one case of overwhelming violence, and that happened last night at UCLA. And it was pro-Israeli protesters that violently attacked the peace protesters that didn't do anything. They attacked an old lady and said, oh, yeah, good luck trying to defend yourself, old lady. These are vicious, vigilante thugs. And they have done more violence than all of the peace protesters in the country combined. Where are the arrests? Where is the outrage? Where is the indignation? You pretend that you care about protecting students, but you only care about protecting one side, whereas the other side is assaulted.
No, I don't actually.
Debased and humiliated.
Okay, let me respond.
And all you want to do is cancel their speech. You're part of cancel culture and admit it right now.
Can I
respond?
You're
talking about protesting people.
Can I respond?
Americans.
Can I respond?
Americans.
By the way.
Okay, this is not the United States of Israel.
Fine.
America.
All right, America's, you made your point.
Get to protest a foreign government.
Okay, let me respond. Just to be
you've
clear.
You've lost the right wing.
Just to be clear.
You've lost the left wing. You've lost America.
Just to
America's
be...
not going to stand here
Fine.
And let Israel
You can keep shouting or we can
who's
have a debate.
Who's allowed to speak and who's going to be arrested.
All right, you can keep shouting.
I gave you 20 minutes to do propaganda,
okay.
Piers. Go ahead now.
It's not propaganda. I have many views about all of this. We're talking specifically about the protests at Columbia, which I think have crossed a line. By the way, you talk about cancel culture. I'm entitled to my view without you and Dr. West screaming liar, genocide supporter, and all this other bullshit.
Okay, do you condemn the UCLA pro-Israel thugs?
Let me make it clear.
Do you condemn them? I'm doing the same thing you are.
Wait a minute.
Do you condemn them?
Wait a minute.
Are you pro-violence?
Can I answer the question? If this was Jewish students that were breaking into this building violently...
No, you don't have to go with a hypothetical.
No, sorry, I am going to go with a hypothetical because you're trying to make out that somehow I'm only doing this because I'm pro-Israel's government. I'm not pro-Israel's government. What I am pro is the safety of Jewish students being protected because they are not responsible for the actions of an Israel government thousands of miles away. They're entitled, having paid $400,000 for their education.
But you say no, you don't want to protect the peace protesters.
I don't think mob rules should be allowed to go on. So when you talk about this is a private university campus, they are entitled to not have their buildings desecrated in this manner, and they are entitled eventually to have the police remove them.
Be honest. When they were doing it in a public space, everybody in media, in American media, said, how dare they do it in a public space? They do it in a private place. You go, how dare they do it in a private place?
No, you shouldn't be breaking into buildings full stop.
You know what? When Martin Luther King in Selma, Alabama, crossed the Edmund Pettus Bridge, you know what they said? How dare they interrupt a bridge? How dare they go in a public place? How dare those protesters? Mm. Civil rights leaders should know their role, should know their place, boy. That's what people like everyone in American media is saying right now to the people in favor of not slaughtering any more Palestinians.
Yeah, I think
you guys sound exactly like Bull Connor.
Okay.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare.
That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I know you have to go. I just want to just bring you back in just briefly. Look, this is an incredibly, as you can tell, this is a very incendiary debate and passions run very high about this. Has anything you've just been listening to given you any more clarity about how we resolve this situation? Because presumably these protests are not going to go away. They may get bigger in number. They may affect more universities. This is a bad situation getting progressively quickly worse. What do we do about this?
Right. Again, going back to what I was saying before, I think that the law on these things is clear. I think that we want to be careful to not give up any of our rights as Americans in response to things that we see. There was also a bipartisan legislation proposed about having anti-Semitism monitors on campuses. I mean, what could go wrong there, right? And I've been open as a First Amendment absolutist, and I've had people send me videos of things like smash windows. Was this free speech, Kat? Obviously not, and I'm not saying that it is. I think that the robust debate surrounding this proves all the more reason why there are strong disagreements on what counts as what and what means this or what means that, that we should not have the government be in the position to decide ever what you can and cannot say, because any of these rules that some people are pushing for that would, you know, some of the slogans that the Palestinian protesters are chanting to silence any of that could then, based on what else someone else thinks, could be used to, say, prevent an IDF soldier from coming to campus to speak. So I think that there are two separate things that we need to keep, how you feel about the speech personally, how you feel about the issue personally, and then how you feel about the government involvement in it. Those are two completely separate things, and it's not the same to be pro-First Amendment and anti-Semitic.
You make some great points. Kat, we've got to let you go. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you. I want to bring in Javier DeRusso. You've been waiting patiently. You posted on X yesterday, breaking inside the UCLA anti-Israel encampment. Journalist Cam Higby and I snuck into the ongoing encampment to see what was going on. Cam was caught after asking too many common sense questions and physically removed by the protesters. We have a bit of footage of that, I think.
About the same wristbands as the anti-Semites so that we could sneak into their camp and woo child the ghetto. First of all, they had gender-neutral buckets to urinate and poop in. The whole place smelled like musty terrorists and shit. But the fact that they were forcing out conversation and journalists makes it clear that they don't have the answers to explain why they're there. And I was overhearing the most racist conversations about white people just in general. These people are literally BLM rebranded and more extreme.
Look, that's pretty inflammatory stuff, but you're here now. Do you think what you did last night was the right thing to do?
Absolutely. And first of all, thank you for having me, Pierce. It was the right thing to do. I'm somebody, I hate propaganda from either side. I hate being told what I'm supposed to believe. So I like to go in and see for myself. So I snuck into the camp. It was very easy. I just put on a tacky outfit and went and bought the same wristbands from Staples. And I saw the conditions that were back there. I saw the sanitation hazards of them all using the same bucket to poop in. And I saw I overheard the conversations that they were having in there. It was full of hate speech. It was full of just calling for the bloodshed. watershed of Zionists. It was them being angry, and it ultimately started to get violent once my friend Cam Higby's cover was blown. Once they realized, as they were describing him as a white Republican, they immediately knew that they had to kick him out, and they locked arms. They were shoving him up the stairs and then back down the stairs to get him out of the encampment. And it just goes to show how aggressive these college students are getting. I'm all for free speech. I'm all for freedom of expression, but that is limited once you start, one, prohibiting these students who pay a lot of money to go to these college campuses to go to class, as well as you start becoming violent towards journalists and people who are just there trying to get an inside story on what's actually happening on these universities that we are being asked to pay for.
Dr. West, coming back to you, Donald Trump got horrendous criticism for cracking down on the BLM protests in 2020. Is Biden not just doing the same here? And is there a double standard in the way that people are looking at these two different situations?
Well, number one, anytime you have massive military occupation of a community, that's what BLS was about. That's what Black Lives Matter was about, which that's a 400-year affair. I don't know whether the brother would want to do that in the 1960s, see who was using the urine with King and Malcolm and Fannie Lou Hamer and others. But there were other issues they were zeroing in on. It's called American terrorism. It's called American Jim Crow, or American police murdering other young people of different colors, disproportionately chocolate, right? But when you have massive military occupation, that is a massive breakdown of a community. If you can't have a leadership of a university that can have a dialogue about three claims, we want transparency about your investments. We don't want you to invest in genocide, occupation, and ethnic cleansing. And we want amnesty. You can have a dialogue. At Brown, they said they're going to have a dialogue. They're going to have a vote. But no, no, not Columbia and the others. They've become such a corporation. They're tied to their donors. They're tied to their money masters. They're tied to their benefactors. They don't give a damn about what the students think. The students are just cannon fodder for their reputation, who are highly talented, work very hard, but have hardly any voice. And when you don't have a voice and you move in a nonviolent way, and Brother Pierce, you should know the two first Antifathers were nonviolent. They shot them down like dogs. That's why Hamas didn't appear until 1988, and you had the vicious occupation in 1948. If they had shot Martin Luther King Jr. down and Rosa Parks down and so forth, there's no doubt that Black folk would have responded. That's why we, the Black people, haven't created a Black version of the Ku Klux Klan, because we had leaders like Martin and leaders like Fannie Lou. You shoot them down like a dog, it's going to be a very different situation.
Okay.
And that's what we're up to.
Okay, so, but let me ask you. Let me ask you a question, then.
Of course, students are going to have faults. And
okay, but let me ask you a question. My question for you.
But we're talking about the main issue of genocide. This ain't no game. This ain't no.
No, it's not a game. It's not a game.
People are dying, though, man.
I understand.
Journalists are dying. Universities are.
Cornell, you must let me respond. You teach at Columbia, and you join these protests.
Union Theological Seminary across the street. I've been in the camps. I didn't see anything that the other brother saw. But, you know, okay. If he makes his judgment, he makes his judgment.
But given that there has been clear intimidation and harassment of Jewish students, it's been broadcast. We've seen the videos of it. You cannot be happy as a professor there that Jewish students are being harassed and intimidated because people are critical of what an Israel government's doing thousands of miles away. That is my point.
Of course. Of course. That goes without saying. I try to be a decent person in my life.
So you agree with me? After that diatribe, you agree with me?
All you want to talk about is protection of Jews.
It's not all I want to talk about, Cornell. But that is actually what this debate is about.
Organizations that are banned it back in October. Did you say a word about that? When you got massive children at universities and hospitals completely leveled, and you have something on your Twitter, rather than make that part of the framing of the issue, then in fact you become an extension of propaganda. And that's why I call you a racist, because it means then that a Palestinian
life does not have the same
value
as an
Israeli life.
I'm sorry,
if
but how dare you?
You wouldn't frame it in that way, my brother. You would not frame it in that way.
I'm sorry, but you how dare you call me a racist? What you don't is, before I did this debate, I did a long interview with one of the IDF spokesmen in which I went after him about their planned invasion of Rafah because I think it would be a catastrophic mistake. So don't call me a racist.
Biden believes that.
And don't assume
Biden
you think
Biden believes that Palestinian life has the same value as Israeli life?
Yes, I do.
Absolutely not.
Yes,
have
I
a
do.
Fiber in his bone when it comes to Palestinian predicament.
I absolutely
you
believe
think
Palestinian...
that's an answer to me?
I believe Palestinian lives matter just as much as any other lives. And I've always said that. Always.
It's not manifest in your framing, brother. It's not manifest in
your
framing.
Just use the word, don't throw around the word racist without any evidence to support the fact that I'm a racist.
I wait until I hear a lot of evidence, and I've been hearing the evidence, and I throw it around. It's not throwing around. It's a reality.
Me saying it is wrong that Jewish students are being harassed is not racism, because I'm
not
talking about universities being flattened in Gaza. I think
that's
the flattening of universities
in
Gaza is
awful. Totally disingenuous.
All right, Cenk, I'll bring you in.
No.
Please.
Okay. Look, Piers, you keep going back to the most obvious question in the world. Should Jewish students be protected from harassment or assault?
Yes.
Obviously. Obviously.
So
hold
you
on.
Both agree with me?
No.
So
no,
why does that
Piers,
make me a
let
racist?
Let me finish. Let me finish. Let me finish. So that's the most obvious point in the world. And I already told you that I have Jewish family. I have a nephew who wears a Star of David on a college campus. I will go and help the people that are escorting them to their classes, et cetera. That is not an issue. But what you just did was you spent now 20 to 30 minutes framing it like that is the biggest issue and everyone is saying, oh no, we should attack the Jewish students, when no one is saying that. In reality, hold on, in reality, vigilante thugs last night attacked the peace protesters at UCLA who had done nothing wrong. It was a violent attack. They beat them with sticks, they pepper sprayed them. And yet, I ask you a simple question. You've got now 20 to 30 minutes of propaganda saying, oh, the Palestinian protesters, the peace protesters, they hate the Jews, they're anti-Semites, all the Jews are in danger, etc. And I'm saying, of course, let's protect them. And then you make it seem like that's the 98% of the issue, when in reality, the only protesters that have been massively violent are the pro-Israel protesters. And to this second, not only did you mention it for about 2.5 seconds
I even
out of
have
20
a video
minutes,
on my
but
Twitter
you still haven't condemned them. So do you condemn them, Piers, the violent thugs?
I deliberately held off writing or commenting about what was going on in Colombia for quite a few days, and I will do the same about what happened at UCLA until I've actually established Well, hang on.
Super
convenient. Sorry, it happened overnight, I will wait and see the facts, and when I get the facts, I will pass judgment without fear or favour and certainly without any racism. Now, Javier, you were there last
and
night.
And Piers,
hang on,
on the racism charge?
No,
because everyone who defends Palestinians in this country, no matter what they say, like, I'm a perfect example. I condemn Hamas. I want to protect the Jewish students. I want a beautiful pro-Palestine and Israel. I want two states. And we're called anti-Semites, including by your guests, 24/7. The minute someone calls
you a
racist,
you an anti-Semite.
Muslim lives don't matter.
I've never
all
called
of a sudden everybody catches feelings.
Yeah, except I haven't called
you. Which only goes one way.
I have never called you an anti-Semite. I've never called Dr. West
That's
an anti-Semite.
Right, but almost every guest
I've never
of
called
yourself.
Either of you racist, and yet both of you have gone along with calling me a racist, even though I'm not. So yeah, if you're going to dish it
framing.
Out,
look
if you're
at
dish
are
it
you going to ignore the framing,
careful.
Piers, are you going to ignore the framing? You know you framed it this way. And, Piers, you're not alone.
You were booked,
not the
all
main
of you,
culprit.
Just
you're,
to be clear.
Hold on, Piers. Let
sorry.
Me give you a little bit of credit.
Right, okay.
You are open to the Palestinian position 20% of the time.
Just
okay?
to be clear.
That's why I come back on this
just
show.
Just to be
but
clear.
But the American media is filled with racist against Muslims. Right. American politicians are racist against Muslims. Mm. And they revel in it. Blood, rivers of blood in Gaza. And the American politicians and the American media say, not enough. Kill them more, Israel. Kill them more.
Yeah, just to be clear.
Anyone who objects to the wide slaughter of those people is called an anti-Semite.
Just to be clear.
The American media is sick.
Just to be clear, you were all booked to take part in a debate specifically about the protests at Colombia. So when you're asking, why am I focusing on the protests at Colombia, that is why you were all booked for this segment and debate. So don't try and be disingenuous with viewers and make out that you were booked for any wider purpose, because you weren't. I wanted to debate all the issues around what's going on in Colombia. And what is interesting to me...
Let's talk about Colombia.
Let me finish.
Let's talk about Colombia.
Let me finish.
Those peace protesters are the same ones that...
I'm sorry, you don't just keep talking on my show. I'm sorry.
...that were also banished and propagandized against like people like you.
Yeah, I'm not a propagandist. I'm not a racist or any of these things, right?
War is always great. Peace is always the bad guys. Yeah. It's absurd.
It is absurd, yeah. I agree with you about it being absurd.
Piers, do you get... that we are vomiting your propaganda. We can't stand it anymore. Yeah. It isn't just about you. It's all of media, all of the politicians, with their nonstop propaganda that the people in favor of peace, the people who want to protect innocent lives, are somehow pro-terrorists, are the bad guys, are the anti-Semites, are the racists, etc. We're sick of the overwhelming propaganda.
Yeah, I'm pretty sick of being called a racist by you guys. So we've all got our cross to bear. Let me bring.
So I asked you whether the IDF were terrorists. Are the IDF a terrorist organization killing innocent children? Yes or no?
Oh, I do not believe they're a terrorist organization. No.
Oh, come on.
They're at war. There's a big difference between being at war and being a terrorist.
No, you may think they are, Cornell, and you may think they are, Cenk. You've asked me a question. I do not think they are. Okay?
Based on what?
Do I think the IDF has very serious questions to answer about the way they are executing this war? Absolutely. Do we have international criminal courts? Do we have criminal courts and laws and rules to hold them to account? Absolutely. I want them to be held to account? Damn right I do, yeah. And do I think they should be invading Rafah? No, I do not.
It don't mean that much to you, man. Come on.
Oh, it does mean as much to me. Let me bring in Javier again.
No, they don't mean that.
This debate has got very unpleasant for reasons that are slightly lost on me, given what the debate was supposed to be. Cornell, let Javier speak, okay? Javier, you were there.
Absolutely. Javier's been very patient.
Javier, you were there last night, and it's been pictured by Cenk as it was simply a bunch of very violent pro-Israel protesters attacking completely innocent pro-Palestinian protesters. What was your experience there? What did you see?
I mean, that's not what happened there, and it's not what's happened at any of these universities. Oh, I don't know why he's trying to portray it as if the pro-Palestinians are there peacefully. I also have a video on my Twitter of a pro-Palestinian chasing after a Jewish man trying to tase him because she didn't like what was on his sign. I also saw a man go and spit on a woman's dog simply because she was on the Zionist side. So, no, it's not this situation where you have the pro-Palestinians who are just sitting there in their encampment and not doing anything. These people have continuously been violent, and I mean, even just looking over at what happened in Colombia, you're not busting into windows and breaking into buildings if you're there to be peaceful and to be protesting peacefully. That's not the case. So you are disingenuous, Cenk, if you're going to sit here and pretend that the pro-Palestinians are just being innocent. I don't understand how you could even see it in that way.
Brother,
are you going to sit here? There's videos online. Are you going to sit here and lie to everyone and say that the pro-Israel side didn't attack?
Step on them, please.
Well, you both spoke over each other, so we didn't hear what either person said.
Okay, all right. Let me just ask Javier, who's obviously lying about this. There's videos online of the pro-Israel side clearly attacking the pro-Palestinian side with sticks and fireworks and pepper spray. Are you going to sit here and lie on television and say to everyone that didn't happen? Because go ahead. You lose all credibility. Go ahead, liar.
They were fighting back. They were fighting back, and don't call me a liar. I'm not
fighting
here to
back.
Sit here
Who
and name
started?
Call and be childish like you at your big age.
But oh, yeah. You just called them
anti-Semites. The pro-Palestinian side. There is a woman
dirty.
Who was put in the hospital because she
Mr.
was hit in
innocent,
the head.
Innocent all of a sudden. Yeah, you just
They
called
were being dirty. You don't sit there
Semites,
and poop in
and
a gender-neutral bucket and sit there and act like you're not dirty.
You
I called the
Muslims.
Health department. It
you,
is filthy. The way that they're behaving
Muslims.
Is filthy. I don't hate Muslims, but I do hate Muslim extremism. I have a lot of
you're
fundamental issues with
me.
The Muslim extremism that's going on in the world. Oh, if the only way that you can get your point across is going and raping and beheading people, then you're probably a terrorist and
Who
you're probably an extremist. I do have an issue with that. I do have an issue with the fact that you show an ankle and you're killed in some of these nations. Oh, no, I'm racist.
Look at how he
I'm not
all
racist. I don't have any
Muslims.
Issue with Muslims
Stop being
in
racist
general.
Against me.
I didn't say, did I not just say extremist? I just
how
said extremist,
you?
But you chose to hear what you wanted to hear.
He clearly
it is
said
putting
extremist.
Shit into a bucket. I wasn't even just talking about the Muslims. I was talking about in the encampment. The encampment is disgusting. They're all sitting there with unwashed behinds, protesting and screaming out for the bloodshed of Jews and Christians worldwide. So, yeah, I have a problem with that. I have
nonsense.
A fundamental issue with
this
that. Is that such a big
liar.
Deal?
But Javier,
nonsense,
Javier.
Propaganda.
Do you believe
what did
that
I lie about?
Javier.
Where was the lie? Where was the lie?
Who's paying you, Javier? Who's paying you, Javier?
The pro-Palestinian side started the aggression. They started the violence when they went and they attacked that Jewish girl who went to the hospital that night. And then things began to escalate.
You don't know what you're talking about. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's like saying Nat Turner created, he was the cause of the whole issue of white supremacy because he's responding to white supremacy. That's ridiculous. And you know it's ridiculous.
Why are we still talking about white supremacy in 2024? Why are we still talking about that hundreds of years later? What do white people do that black people can't? How is white supremacy even still on the forefront of your mind? You're stuck in the past. You're stuck in these dated issues.
Oh,
and that's what really starts
to
forget.
Now you're really revealing your ignorance, brother. You don't think white supremacy has anything to do with what's going on in Gaza at all?
How am I ignorant? Is that right? I've been black for 27 years, and I have never been inferior to a white person. What is the white supremacy that is affecting your life? I would like to hear it.
Nobody in your family has ever been.
I would like to hear it. What can't I do that a white person can do?
Nobody in your family has ever been mistreated, right? You one of the few black people never been mistreated. Okay, all right. All right, I see.
Saying that I've never been mistreated. Every demographic has been mistreated. White people get mistreated
all the time. I'm talking about because
getting mistreated. There is prejudice from every single demographic. So I don't understand what you think that is so unique to black people for.
All right.
Brother.
You know what? I've got to bring this debate to an end. It was supposed to be specifically about the protests. I'm sorry that it got so heated and personally abusive. I would like to make it clear.
It wasn't your fault, Piers.
I would like to make it clear to Cornell and to Cenk, I'm not a racist. And I genuinely care about the safety of Jewish students at that university. That's it. And that doesn't mean I don't care about what's happening in Gaza or the journalists there or the universities there or any of those things, because actually I do. And I've expressed my concern about that many times.
Let's see it in your reporting. Let's see it in your reporting.
Well, if you bother to watch it, Cornell, you would know. If you bother to watch it, you would know.
I watch it over and over again, brother. Yeah. That's why I come on your show.
Then you would not call me a racist.
More.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. You don't have a right to call me a racist without evidence, and you didn't have any.
Oh, please, brother. When the evidence is overwhelming, you can't even say the IDF is involved in terrorism and Palestinians, but Hamas terrorizes all the time. Mm. Palestinian lives don't mean the same as Israeli lives for you.
Yeah,
admit it.
They do.
Wrestle with that in the midnight hour.
They do.
Wrestle with that in the midnight
hour.
How
is it terrorism when you're at war?
Like I said to you,
I don't think you understand the definition
right
of terrorism.
I value every life. I value every life as equally important, even yours, Cornell.
How would white supremacy benefit? I want you to tell me that. I'm the blackest person in LA County.
I've got to leave it there. Look, I value all of your lives. I value coming on the program. I'm sorry things got so personal, but we move on and we'll continue debating it. I believe that out of all the debate, hopefully, we will get some solutions and we'll get to a better place. So thank you for joining me.